listening to this passage, especially the portion of this passage in which Jesus speaks to Thomas and proclaims, "Blessed those who have not seen and have believed," especially listening to it in the broader context of the Gospel according to St. John, we see what might appear a kind of a contradiction. Recall the very first words of the Gospel of John, the prologue. We hear that, in that prologue, that the Word, who was ever at the Father's side, has become flesh and dwelt among us. And we're told that this Word was life, that the Word became flesh to bring us life. And in this Word made flesh, we have seen God's glory. We have seen His glory, the glory as of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. And those are words which you and I, when we read that gospel or listen to it, we make those words our own. We have seen the glory of the eternal Word. We have seen His glory as of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. But yet Jesus tells Thomas, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." So the contradiction for me, the seeming contradiction, or at least the tension, is, have I seen or haven't I? At the beginning of the gospel, the evangelist tells us, we make his words our own, that we have seen in the Word made flesh God's glory. But now we're told, certainly we're supposed to recognize ourselves in Thomas, or in Jesus' words to Thomas. We're told, we're proclaimed blessed because although we haven't seen, we have believed. So which is it? Have we seen or haven't we seen? It turns out that there are different ways of seeing. And this passage that we've just heard emphasizes for you and me how it is that we who live 2,000 years after the Son of God, after the Word made flesh walked the earth, how it is that we see God's glory in Him. Certainly, we don't see God's glory in the risen Christ the way that his first disciples did, and the way that Thomas, although he was, in a sense, a week late in being present during the resurrection appearances of Jesus, we certainly don't see Jesus the way he did. We certainly are not invited, even in Easter time when we celebrate the Lord's resurrection, to place our fingers into the Lord's wounded side, to place our fingers into the wounds on his hands and his feet. But we do see Jesus. How is it? The evangelist, at the very end of this passage, explains to us that the scriptures themselves, in particular, the scriptures that he has authored for us, that the Apostle John has offered for us, that these scriptures are a kind of incarnate presence of the Word, incarnate presence of God. That the same eternal Word, the same eternal Son who took on flesh in the womb of the Virgin Mary and who was born for us, he has incarnated himself again in this very Word that we read and hear. Did you hear what the evangelist said at the end of today's reading? He says, "Now Jesus did lots of other signs that aren't written in this book. But these are written that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life. In other words, when we read the sacred scripture, when we hear the word of God, it is every bit as good. It is every bit as good as if we were placing our hands into the wounded side of the resurrected Lord. When we hear the scriptures, it's every bit as good as if we were touching the nail marks in Jesus' hands and his feet. That in fact, the disciples, including Thomas, who were privileged to see Jesus in the flesh after he had risen from the dead, they are in no way privileged over you and me. Because in fact, the incarnate presence of Jesus, the incarnate presence of the eternal Word made flesh, is with us in the scriptures. The apostle has written the last 20 chapters recounting the signs that Jesus has performed, pointing to his divinity, recounting the way he washed the feet of his disciples, recounting the way he was glorified on the cross, so that when you and I hear these words, we touch the very flesh of Christ. This scripture is the flesh of Christ, such that when we hear it, we really do see, not with the eyes of the flesh, but with the eyes of faith, with the interior eyes of the heart, if you will, the flesh of the risen Jesus. We see the Lord in a different way than the apostles did, but every bit as truly, every bit as really. And it's this touching of the flesh of Christ when we hear his word, touching the risen flesh of Christ, as the apostle tells us, that we have life in his name. We as Christians should cherish this word. It's not every day you hear that in the Catholic Church, probably, right? I mean, we think it's the folks who go to those other churches that treasure the scriptures. But in fact, you and I as Catholics are called by the church to savor the word of God, to pore over it, to read it every day, to pray over the word of God, allowing Christ, who is enfleshed in this word, to speak to our hearts and to reveal to us his love and his mercy to us. Because this word in the scriptures is truly a kind of incarnation of the divine word, that eternal word. And the liturgy of the church is so beautiful because, having heard this divine word, having perceived the word capital W in his written word, then we proceed to the altar, in which Jesus again touches us with his incarnate presence. This time, not in the incarnate word of the scriptures, but the incarnate word of his very body and blood, broken and poured out for us. So whenever we celebrate the Eucharist, we go from the incarnate written word to the incarnate word broken and poured out for us. His very incarnate presence, both at the ambo and at the altar. And we're reminded that this presence of Christ, whom we touch in the scriptures, and this presence of Christ, whom we touch in the Eucharist, is always the risen Christ. The Christ whom we glorify and worship at Easter, who has defeated all that stands between you and me on the one hand, and God, our merciful Father, on the other. That in his flesh, Christ has made us one with God, has made us sharers in the divine nature. So this week, and as we move forward on our Easter pilgrimage, let's pore over this word of God this word made flesh for us in the scriptures. Let's savor it. Let's allow the Lord to speak to us through it. And let us allow this word always to lead us to the Eucharist.